So how many Lents have you lived now in your lifetime? I mean Lents you've actually lived. Lived into the fullness of what this season of repentance and renewal calls forth from us. How many of those? Have there been those true Lenten pilgrimages that have tested your faith and caused you to ponder it intensely? Have you wandered in the wilderness and found the strength to withstand the crafts and deceits of the devil? Have you emptied yourself of sin and confession and found true forgiveness and the reconciliation of love and hope that awaits you? Have you laid down the burdens you carry before the God who knows you as beloved and found your hope renewed? How many Lents have you lived? I shall judge each of you by what the person does, declares the Lord Yahweh. Repent, renounce all your crimes, avoid all occasions of guilt, shake off all the crimes you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why die, house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord Yahweh. So repent and live. With these words from the prophet Ezekiel, we often begin our Lent on Ash Wednesday. Lent is, as Henri Nouwen says, a time to be with our Lord in a special way. A time to pray, to fast, to follow Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, and to the final victory over death. But Henri continues, I am always so divided. I truly want to follow you, Lord, but I also want to follow my own desires and lend an ear to the voices that speak about power and prestige and success and pleasure and influence. Help me to become deaf to these voices and more attentive to your voice. Your voice which calls me to choose the narrow road to life for myself and all your beloveds. I know that Lent is going to be hard for me. I've never really fully embraced this journey. The choice to live a life of faith and to walk in your way, Lord, has to be made every moment of my everyday, every moment of my life. I have to choose thoughts that are your thoughts, choose words that are your words, choose actions that are your actions. There are no times or places without choices, and I know how deeply I resist choosing you. Please, Lord, be with me at every moment and in every place. Give me the strength and the courage to live this season of Lent faithfully, so that when Easter comes, I will be able to taste with joy the new life which you have prepared for me. These are words of Henri Nouwen, the great and humble priest and teacher, author, an ardently struggling Christian all through his life. These words rest in my heart as another Lent begins, and Lent has begun with me or without me. This prayer of the heart and truth speaks to many of us. How difficult it is to choose the way of Christ, the way that leads us through temptation into at times the wilderness alone. And there to come face to face with our own sin, things known and long left in the regions of the unknown, sins that wake us up in the night and cause everything from indigestion to mental breakdown. How can we choose this? By the very mercy of God, for we are assured that God's mercy is greater than our sins. There is an awareness of sin, says Nouwen, that does not lead to God, but leads to self-preoccupation. Our temptation is to be so impressed by our sins and failures and so overwhelmed by our lack of generosity that we get stuck in a paralyzing guilt. It is the guilt that says, I am too sinful to deserve God's mercy. It is the guilt that leads to introspection instead of directing our eyes and our hearts and our being toward God. It is the guilt that becomes an idol and therefore a form of pride. Lent is the time to break down this idol and turn to our loving Lord. And the question is, are we like Judas, who was so overcome by his sin that he could not believe in God's mercy any longer and hanged himself? Or are we like Peter, who returned to his Lord with repentance and cried bitterly for his sins? This season of Lent, during which winter and spring struggle with each other for dominance, helps us in its scripture and format to cry out for God's mercy. September 11, 2001, and December 14, 2012, each seemed to me like a bitter Good Friday. Death, absence of God, bitter pain, cries of despair, anxious searching, marked each of those days and the days that followed. September 11, there was darkness and ash. The first sign of the merciful presence of God came in unlikely heroes, caring for others more than self, office colleagues carrying each other to the exits, anxious and loving calls home, people aboard airplanes working to save the people on the ground. People nowhere near New York City flocking to churches for prayer and searching and solace. Paradoxically, the mystery of God's presence can be touched often most deeply by the awareness of God's absence. It is so often in the center of our longing for the absent God that we discover God's presence and outstretched arms, and realize that our desire to love God is born out of the very love with which God has touched us. In the pilgrimage of faith, we choose to be patient. And as we wait in patience, we discover how much our lives have already been filled by God's love. Just as children seem to appreciate their parents just a little bit more when they're in the world on their own, dealing with stuff on their own, just as lovers and partners often can rediscover each other during periods of absence, so our intimate relationships with God can often become deeper and more mature by the purifying experience with God and God's seeming absence. By listening to our longings, by purging our sins, by opening up our lives to finding God, we hear God anew as creator and redeemer and loved one. By touching the center of our solitude, we sense that we have been touched by loving hands and enfolded by loving arms. By pondering our endless desire to love, we come to the growing awareness that we can love truly only because we have been loved first, that we can offer intimacy only because we are born out of the utter intimacy of God's own self in our lives. In our violent times, in which destruction of life is so rampant, and raw wounds of humanity so visible, it's hard to tolerate the experience of God as a purifying absence, and to keep our hearts open to patiently and reverently preparing the way of God. So we're tempted to skip these 40 days of wandering, prayer, repentance, and renewal, and to grasp at rapid solutions instead, not seeing the validity of the patient pilgrimage and the questions that emerge in us along that journey. Our inclination to put faith in any suggestion that promises quick healing is so great that it's not surprising that spiritual experiences are mushrooming all over the place and have become highly sought after commercial items. Many people flock to places and persons who promise intensive experiences of togetherness, cathartic emotions of exhilaration and sweetness, and liberating sensations of rapture and ecstasy. In our desperate need for quick fulfillment and our restless search for the experience of that divine intimacy, we are all too prone to grab at the latest fad or quick good feeling. In our impatient culture, it has indeed become extremely difficult to see much salvation in waiting, in patience, in the tender, prayerful, patient journey of faith. But still, the God who offers us salvation and renewal of life and hope is not made by human hands or human thought. God transcends our psychological distinctions between already and not yet, absence and presence, leaving and returning. Only in a patient journey, waiting in expectation, can we slowly break away from our guilt, that our sins are too much for us and for God, and our fear that God is absent altogether, or that we can come to love God fully through a quick and exhilarating experience. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only God.'" And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The patient trust of Jesus is our guide in Lent and in life always. Jesus' primary concern was to live constantly in the presence of God and to share that presence with others. Every day of Jesus' own earthly life was filled with the same choosing that faces us. To walk with God in trust and faithfulness, or to succumb to the powers of the devil and the world around us that feeds on our willingness to cast faith aside and walk in the ways of a broken humanity. Perhaps we must continually remind ourselves that the first commandment, requiring us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, is the first. This is a radical claim. We are asked for a single-minded commitment to God and God alone. God wants all of us, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And wonderfully, it is this unconditional and unreserved love for God that leads us to the care of neighbor. Not as an activity which competes with our attention to God, but as a beautiful, faithful expression of our love for God, who is revealed to us as the God of all persons, of all humanity. It is in God that we find the wholeness of a renewed life that enables us to care for one another, to care for our neighbor, every blessed, diverse one. And as we care, humanity is restored person by person to the fullness of God's desire for us. And God is no longer absent from our sight, because where is God? Right there in front of us, in the person that we extend God's love toward. So here is Lent, a gift of our faith before us. It's not this awful, terrible time. Go ahead and give up the stuff you shouldn't do anyway. But choose God in your life this Lent. Choose love in your life this Lent. You know, ignoring its call and opportunity is choosing, I remind you. I pray for each of us that we might embrace with patience this journey of faith ahead, this gift. I pray that we will rediscover, or perhaps for some of us discover, the mercy of God, the intimate love of God, and the call to make God known in the opportunities before you, thereby restoring for many God's presence of love, of hope in and for our world. Let us pray. Why, O Lord, is it so hard for us to keep our hearts directed toward you? Why does our minds wander off in so many directions? And why does our heart desire the thing that leads us astray? Give to us the patience to embrace Lent in its fullness, to trust in your mercy and constant love. Let us sense your presence in the midst of our turmoil. Take our tired bodies, our confused minds, our restless souls into your arms and give us rest. Let us know your utter love, and then strengthen us to set that love in the midst of the world for the gifts given by you, gifts of healing, gifts of restoration, gifts of new life, that they may abound in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.